Merry Christmas, you guys. Merry Christmas. You know, what's going to happen is I'm gonna give a message this morning, and tomorrow night we're gonna have our second candlelight service. Just out of curiosity, how many of you guys are planning to go tomorrow night? Christmas Eve, awesome, very cool. We had a lot of people on Thursday for our first one, so it's gonna be a good time. But that candlelight service is gonna happen, and then the next morning we're gonna wake up. Maybe one of you will put the coffee on. Maybe some cinnamon rolls. I don't know, whatever you guys do. If you have children, there's a really good chance that maybe all your children will be up before you, right? Maybe one of your kids is gonna get up at like 3:30 and just really excited about opening presents. And then what's gonna happen is you guys are gonna open presents. And then just like that, you think about cleaning up. You think about what's for lunch. If you're a parent, by 2 p.m., you're gonna probably fix a toy that was already broken. Maybe you're gonna find a toy that was already lost. Maybe if you don't have any kids, you're just gonna put together a toy for yourself that you got. So it's gonna be a really fun day. And as I've thought about what's coming this week, and as the anticipation builds in the hearts of my children, and as there's so much excitement to come, as epic as your Christmas might be, I must tell you this, that it is only one day. And it lasts for really just like only a moment. Merry Christmas! Hey! But there's good news to this, okay? So it is very momentary. And I believe our main passage of Scripture this morning is going to really unpack the true meaning of Christmas, and that it's lasting, and that it's just not one day. And it's out of Luke chapter 3. You can turn there with me if you have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, we'll have the verses on the screen for you. I want to say it's Luke chapter 3. Yeah, Luke chapter 3. We're going to talk about John the Baptist because it's almost Christmas. So why not talk about John the Baptist? No, but actually, John the Baptist does have a significant role in the Christmas story. Really similar pregnancies with Mary. God told John's parents that he was going to be born. God said that this dude is going to be just amazing. In fact, God said that the Holy Spirit is going to be in him while he's in the womb. This was how great John the Baptist was. But we may not think of John the Baptist when we're thinking of the Christmas story, and because as far as I know, there aren't any hymns dedicated to him. He doesn't appear in the manger scene with the shepherds and the drummer boy. And he doesn't appear in any Christmas play that I've seen. But as we approach Christmas, the person and the message of John the Baptist is significant in our preparation for the celebration of this day. Luke chapter 3, verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, he said, you brood of vipers, Merry Christmas. So just to let you know, John the Baptist isn't a very seeker-friendly guy. He's not one of those pastors that'll say, you know, I think we should tone this message down so that they hear us. You know, he would be someone who they would describe, he has a prophetic edge to him. I think that's how they would describe that. But anyways, but he says this. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. So that would be like us saying, I'm American, right? I got God on my side. So we have Abraham as our father. We can do no wrong. He says, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, all right, John, this is a great message, but, you know, what shall we do? How do we take this home? And he answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. So what you're seeing in this passage of Scripture is a lot of poetic imagery, and it's out of the book of Isaiah. So John's main passage of Scripture when he's preaching to these people is out of Isaiah, just like how our main passage of Scripture is out of Luke. And in this text, he is quoting the prophet Isaiah about what the coming Messiah is going to do. See, John is the forerunner of the Messiah, and he says this concerning the coming of Jesus. He says, he will make the path straight for the coming of the Lord. And this is really good news. Because he's laying it out. He's saying, hey, the Messiah has come, and he's not coming with tablets. He's not coming with new rules. But the Messiah is actually going to make it easier for you to come to God. He's going to make the path to God easier. And then he explains how and why that is, using more poetic imagery. And we just read this. So the first thing he says here is, every valley shall be lifted. This is such a common theme in the ministry of Jesus. Namely, it's the low or the humble or the lowly. They will be exalted. Jesus is all about exalting the broken in the world. And we see this in actually one of his first sermons. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 2, I love this. Jesus says this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is so upside down. This kingdom economy, if you want to call it is so backwards. Everything we don't want to be, Jesus says, happy are you. Blessed are you. See, Jesus shows up, and he's bringing the low things up. And this is really good news, my friends, because if you're in a season of mourning, this is great news because your valley is being filled. It's upside down. You mourning, you reviled, you hungry and thirsting for righteousness, blessed are you. Happy are you. Rejoice. But that's not all that's going on here. See, look what happens next. John says that the lowly will be exalted, lifted, right? But then this next poetic bit of imagery is that the valleys, okay, so the valleys are being lifted or filled, and then the mountains and hills will be made low. So those who are low will be lifted, and those who are arrogant, self-righteous, prideful, he will bring them low. And this is what he does. He levels the playing ground at the foot of the cross. This is what he's coming to do. This is why we celebrate Christmas. The low are lifted. The prideful and the self-righteous are brought back down. Now, here's what's hard about talking about pride. It's really hard to talk about pride because we can rarely see it in ourselves, can't we? There isn't, I even tried this week to Google like a litmus test to see if I was prideful. Because really, you just never know these days with the internet, right? But there really isn't a litmus test. It's just hard to see if you're self-righteous. And I think it's because pride is what I'm going to call, it's insidious. It just gradually grows, but it grows with harmful effects. And that's why pride is so dangerous, and that's why John is saying, hey, this is what Jesus is coming to do. Be ready. If you're high, if you're exalting yourself, he's leveling the playing field. In the coming of Jesus, John is saying the lowly, the outcasts, the marginalized, they are coming up, and the self-righteous and those who exalt themselves are going to be brought low. And again, these are all main themes in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus is saying the lower lifted, the higher lowered, and there's level ground at the foot of the cross. This is what's happening in the coming of Jesus. And I love where John the Baptist goes next. He starts talking about crooked paths being made straight and rough paths being smoothed out. And this is language like, hey, he has come to straighten the crooked. And this is awesome because I was a crooked dude for so much of my life. I really was. But he's coming to straighten you out. And if you catch me on the right day, even today, my rough edges are still pretty rough. But he's coming to smooth them out. I love this, that the promise in the coming of Jesus Christ, what's crooked will be made straight. Let's read a quick story about a really, really crooked man. And it wasn't the reason why he was so short. Okay, he wasn't like physically crooked, but this guy was just a crook, a bad dude. In Luke chapter 19, you can turn with me there. This is probably for most of you a common story. You'll remember it in Sunday school with your velvet boards. You know, do you guys remember those? So this is Zacchaeus, and we're going to read a story right quick. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not. Because he was a wee little man. And so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. For I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He had gone in to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of all my goods I give to the poor. And if I had defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house. Since he also was a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So, I think it's so easy for us to put ourselves in this story. And I think it's so easy for us to say, golly, those religious people, quit picking on that little guy. He just wants more of Jesus. Like, seriously, they are so self-righteous. If I was in that story back in that time, I would just grab Zacchaeus and bear hug him. And I would probably just go to his house too and crash the party and eat with him and Jesus. And we would just be rejoicing. I really don't believe you would have done that. I don't. Now, you may say, you don't know me. And you may be right. I may not know you like that. But you would not have done that. Because here is what's missing in this Zacchaeus being a wee little man thing. What you have to know is that at this point in human history, Rome rules the known world at that time, from India to England. Okay? Now, how do you rule over so much land without an air force? How do you do that? Well, you have a large Roman army. And you not only have a large Roman army, you have mercenaries. And how do you pay for the large Roman army and how do you pay for the mercenaries? Taxes. That's how you pay for them. And here's what we know about Rome. If you're a history buff, you may know this. We know that Rome rules with fear and violence. We know that it's not uncommon for Rome to sack a city and to crucify the men, women, and the children in that city after they sack it, just to send a message to neighboring cities, hey, you better not. You better not. There are few things that are going to discourage you to lead a rebellion against an occupying force like seeing your wives, your sons, your daughters hanging from crosses outside of the town. So now you have this brutal empire that's occupying Jerusalem. And Zacchaeus was a man who had purchased the right from Rome to take taxes up to pay for that occupying force that was responsible for the murder, the rape, and the plundering of all the Jews. And he was a Jew. Can you imagine in your neighborhood, the guy three houses down, like not only taking money for this force, but taking money, like taking more than he should in order to line his own pockets? Now, I can't think of a modern day equivalent of something that evil. Like that's really bad. And if I could just be so bold enough to say, like, he really is, right here, before he met Jesus, a disgusting human being. He really is. But check this out. Jesus walks into this city. And he's surrounded by hundreds of people, maybe thousands. And we know that Jesus up to this point was casting out demons, healing the sick, just telling people who weren't walking, just like who have never walked, like, Josh, get up, follow me. Like, this is what Jesus has been doing. And he walks into this city. And you have to believe he rolls in the town. And come on, like, the players in the town, they know of this Jesus guy. And so they're like, Jesus, I've heard about you. My house is big, got a lot of money, I got a lot of food, I got a 20-year-old bottle of Merlot. Jesus, why don't you come over to my house and we will dine together? Let's rejoice for the things that you have done. You have to believe that these different players are, you know, like, hey, you want to come to my house? I'm the dude around here. I'm the guy. Jesus ignores all the invitations. Every single invitation of the elite, and walks up to a tree and says, Zacchaeus, what are you doing? Hey, man, get down, for I'm coming to your house today. I have to tell you this. This is so easy to overlook. I hope you guys learned something with the chief tax collector and really how nasty Zacchaeus was. But I also need you to really understand this, that what Jesus did with Zacchaeus right here was ridiculously scandalous. To eat at someone's house not only meant that you were with them, but that you were for them. Like, this was huge. Jesus has rejected the pretty and the elite and has leaned into the ugly because he has come to seek and save that which is lost. And you know what? We see that Zacchaeus repented. We see a complete heart change, and this is exactly why Jesus responded. He responds to repentance like a light switch. The most common accusation made of Jesus was that he was a friend of drunkards and sinners. So this really shouldn't surprise us. He was a friend of the crooked, a friend of the rough. And this is good news, again, because the low is lifted, the proud is brought low, the crooked is straightened out, and the rough is smoothed over. And this is what is coming in the return of Jesus. And my friends, this is, again, why we celebrate Christmas. And so we've gotten to the point of this message that John the Baptist is giving to these people. And they said, okay, great message. Heard all six of your points. It was very well organized. But listen, John, like, what do we do next? I love that we really get to see that response. Like, not everyone gets a message all the time, right? But these guys were like, okay, I want more, but I don't know how to take this home. How can you make this practical? And he says, well, here's the first thing you can do. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. See, since Christ has come and the low has been lifted and the high has been brought low, making level ground at the foot of the cross, and since he plans to take the crooked and make it straight, and because he plans to take the rough and make smooth, how should you and I live? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. If you think that repentance is something that you do once you become a Christian, and then you put on the weight of needing to be a neat, straight Christian man or neat Christian woman, and you cannot keep up with the practice of repentance, I really believe that you are robbing yourself of really what God came to bring. And he wants to give you all of him. I can speak for Pastor Steve here that we are a continually repenting people. That's what we want you to know. And that's not going to bother God. It's not. Because that's how God responds. Because the truth is, I'm not where I want to be in my life. Are you really where you want to be? I don't think we are where we want to be in our lives. And his dedication is, and his commitment to us is unwavering. And if you don't get that, and you don't get that God loves the broken and the contrite in spirit, and you won't give yourself over to habitual practice of repentance, you really will miss out on God's gracious acceptance of you. And you'll just end up hiding behind the weight of just trying to be a good Christian person. And I think I'm 37 years old, and I think I'm just starting to realize that that's really not important to me, just trying to be straight and smooth and pretty. But man, my prayer for myself and for you guys is that our hearts would be inflamed, that our lives would be consumed, and that it might look ugly, but that each and every one of us would have that moment in our life where we are overwhelmed and overrun by the person of Jesus. And it may not look pretty, but that's what I want. And that's what Jesus is coming for, that kind of a heart. I want you and I to take up the light of the gospel wherever we go and light it up, because there's just something better, and you don't get that if you don't bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And what I mean by that, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, just show changed behavior, right? Like, it's bearing fruit in keeping with repentance isn't like you showing up to life group every single week and just confessing the same sin over and over again. Like, that's not repentance. Repentance is to change your mind, to change your direction, and to turn your back completely against that thing. Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. That's the first practical application John the Baptist gives us. And then the second thing he says is this. He says, well, if you have two tunics, give one to the brother without it. And if you have two coats and there's somebody freezing, give that dude your coat. If you have all kinds of food and somebody is starving, then give that food away. What John is doing right here is he is lining us up with the kingdom of God. And I think what I've noticed in 2018 is I think we think of kingdom dynamics specifically as like this spiritual reality, like these spiritual authorities, which I agree, that is part of it. But the kingdom is also physical realities. Like, it's not just that, you know, when you read the passage in Isaiah, it's not just that men and women are saved, but if you keep reading, it's that the poor are cared for. It's that the oppressed are set free. It's those in the margins that are heard. And at the coming of Jesus and the kingdom being made visible, more and more visible each and every day, he calls us not to just spiritual realities, which is still important, but also the physical realities. And in fact, we just want to praise you real quick as a congregation. I know we mentioned it a little bit during our prayer, but we have seen nothing like this at our church. At least I haven't. I've been here a long time. This radical generosity that you guys are doing, it's just so infectious, and it's so encouraging for me, even in my journey of just being a generous person. But you guys have given so much this last year. Just listen to this: 2,152 families received two bags of groceries this year. $14,000 has gone towards missions, long-term and short-term. Nixon Elementary had their expectations exceeded in our back-to-school outreach in the fall. 17 people were baptized, and many more made a greater commitment to follow Jesus in this church. And check this out. Just under 200 underserved families received a turkey for Thanksgiving. Many families from Nixon and Hiawatha and Hoover Elementary, it totaled to 9 families and 60 people. They had their Christmas wish list completely fulfilled. And that was because of you guys. You guys are reaching the poor. You guys are hearing the marginalized, helping the oppressed and the broken of Cedar Rapids. That's you living out the kingdom. And we aren't going to put the brakes on. We're going to see what God wants to do in 2019. So this is the most Christmassy message you're going to ever hear. I really believe that with all my heart. This is what you got this morning. It's the most Christmassy message because the path has been made easier for you to come to the Father. And if you have never, ever said, Jesus, I want to follow you, today is your moment. This morning is your moment. The path is made straight for you to come to the Father. All we do is just admit that we're crooked, admit that we're rough, and we believe that Jesus came to straighten us out, to smooth us over. And then we just call on his name and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. And get plugged in. If that's you this morning, please come up and talk to me. Please come up and talk to someone you came with, because we don't just want to leave you out to dry. We want to get you plugged in with the loving community here at River of Life. The path has been made straight. Are you low? The ground is lifted. Are you self-righteous? And maybe the Holy Spirit is kind of letting you know that right now. Hey, join the club. Come sit at the table. Praise God. Are you crooked? There really is nothing but crooked people. And are you rough around the edges? All you got to do is take a look at the people that Jesus recruited to be on his team. It was almost like that was just a prerequisite. You rough? Okay. I pick you. I choose you. So, on Tuesday morning, with the cinnamon rolls and the coffee and the Christmas music and the gifts and the trash and the cooking and the fixing toys and finding toys. I hope we just all keep in mind what Jesus came for. And it's really to lift the valley if you're low, and to bring you down if you're self-righteous, and to straighten you out. That's what he's doing now, and that's what he's coming to do when he comes again, when he reconciles all things to himself. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. And that's why we don't celebrate just one day, but it's just like an ongoing, everyday thing of just being a son and a daughter of a living God, of the living God. So Merry Christmas, you guys. Will you stand with me? If you need prayer for anything, will you go check out our prayer team to my left? We really just want to stand with you and encourage you, whatever you're going through. And if you're a guest with us, first time, Merry Christmas. Thank you for being here. We have a gift for you at the Welcome Center after service. All right, can I pray for you? Let's bow our heads. God, I thank you for today. I thank you. God, you are generous and kind to us. And I ask for my brothers and my sisters who are in a low spot this morning. I ask that you would encourage their hearts. For those of us who are self-righteous, that you would reveal to us our self-righteousness. God, I ask that in your mercy, you would lead us back to bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. And that you would, in the way only you can do, soften our hearts. God, we want to be wholehearted men and women. We want to be fully surrendered to you. So help us to understand what that means. And Holy Spirit, let us walk in your power and in your hope today and tomorrow and on Christmas Day. Pray that you would protect families as they travel. Bless the food that's prepared. And help us to focus on you this Christmas Day. Amen. Before you leave, can you just sit back down for one moment? I forgot two really important things. It's your two next steps that I'm really excited about. We took a lot of time on these, and we really feel like they're really good. So we can put them up there. You know, we have two of them for you. We just ask that you pray about applying one to your life. If you want to be super saved and like really cool, apply both of them to your life. But let's just start at one, okay? So the first one is this. Go out of your way this week to give something extra to someone in need. If you have two tunics this morning, maybe you can give one away, right? Just something extra. Oh, I love this one. Honey, we should try this one, okay? All right. This Christmas morning, Tuesday morning, before you do anything, any festivity, anything at all, would you read Luke chapter 2? It'll take you 5 minutes, not even. That's the Christmas story, all packaged up really nice for you. And do it with your family on Christmas morning before you start your festivities, all right? All right. Merry Christmas. See you next time.